Good evening, and welcome to the final night of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I would like to say that we save the best for last, but that might be a little too much, but I will let you be the judge of that. Okay, let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, the hour of our death. Amen. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite high school religion classes to teach is Catholic Social Teaching, a class taught senior year. This past year, I had the opportunity to teach it, something I had prayed for. However, when I got my schedule for the year, I laughed, for I was only teaching it second semester. Remember, this is a class offered to seniors. I was going to be teaching second semester seniors all day. I realized that I had not been specific to our Lord in my prayer request. Our Lord has a sense of humor. But since I love teaching, and especially this topic, I was up for the challenge. As I faced this mission, I was reminded of what our directory states about teaching. The sisters come to class well-prepared in the content of subject matter and in methods of enlivening their presentation. It didn't take long before I was given an idea by one of my students about how I could enliven my presentation. Sister, he stated, why don't you start each class with a joke? I have to admit, that is much better than learning one of their dance moves or playing one of their favorite rap songs. So I learned a number of jokes to boot. So as we begin our lessons for this evening, I'm going to start with some jokes. How many Catholics does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. We use candles. Why did the Israelites wander in the desert for 40 years? Moses went and asked for directions. When John the 23rd was asked how many people work in the Vatican, he said, about half. Finally, a rabbi, a minister, and a priest walk into a bar, and the bartender says, is this a joke? Okay. I hope you appreciated the humor. I think my students enjoyed it, and it got them out of a little bit of class time. Our Lord was always so willing to meet people where they were. He continues to do the same for us. As we learn from him, we seek to share this with others, modeling our lives on Christ the teacher. Through our words and actions, sharing the love of the Father. We continue to look to the saints who have been down that road. They can guide us, as Jesus stated during his public ministry. No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Our saint for this evening, Elizabeth of the Trinity, learned from the Master, and when she was trained, she was able to lead others in the spiritual life. Many in her life understood her gift, and we are grateful that they kept her letters, retreats, personal notes, and poems. I want to take four lessons from this teacher who sought to be like the Master. First, she understood deeply the mystery of the divine indwelling. Secondly, she saw the role of accepting our sufferings in the Christian life. Next was the importance of forgetfulness of self. And finally, the task of giving over everything to God, even our sinfulness. Before I delve into these lessons, I want to give a brief overview of her life and put her into relationship to other more known saints. Elizabeth Cattez, as she was born in France in 1880, just 7 years after St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Elizabeth's father was a military man, and eventually the family settled in Dijon, the birthplace of St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Jane Frances de Chantal. We heard about it a little bit this week. When Elizabeth was 8 and her sister, Marguerite, was 5, her father died of a heart attack. Her mother remained in Dijon, and the three would often visit Mrs. Catez's family during vacations. Elizabeth grew up in the shadow of the Carmelite convent and was drawn to religious vocation from an early age. She was not able to get permission to enter the convent until she was 21. And then our Carmelite was only in the convent for 5 years before she died from Addison's disease. I hope to give you more insight into her life as I continue on in my talk. Now to our lessons. The mystery of the divine indwelling. I don't need to go into too much detail here, as Sister Marie Bernadette spoke on this last night. On the night of the Last Supper, in the midst of the Eucharistic gift and the knowledge of the betrayal, Jesus tells the apostles, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." It is not enough that our Lord would take on our human nature and become one with us in our incarnation, that he would leave his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, but that he would go on further to dwell within us, the divine indwelling, something that we cannot begin to fathom, let alone plumb the depths of this great mystery. She herself learned this lesson through the course of people in her life, as well as events she faced. One of the big things that she had to work on was her temper, her strong will. Before her first Holy Communion, she would have fits of anger at times. She would say that her blood was boiling. One time she was so angry, she kicked the door and screamed. Her mother said that she would be either a devil or a saint. The family threatened to send her as a boarder to the Good Shepherd, a house of correction. They would gather her things for the trip in no time. It wasn't long into her youth before something changed in her. She saw how these episodes affected her mother and her sister. Also, she knew that she needed to prepare for her first Holy Communion. The day of her first Holy Communion was unforgettable. She so desired this union with Jesus and felt truly united to him. "I am not hungry," she said. "Jesus has fed me." Another part of the day was going to the Carmelite convent in Dijon. This meeting and revelation for her would form her in her mission. Here, the prioress told Elizabeth that her name meant House of God. This was a powerful moment for the 10-year-old. This was before Holy Communion was moved to a lower age. The prioress then gave her a holy card with a poem she had composed. "Your blessed name holds a mystery, fulfilled this great day. Child, your heart here on earth is the house of the God of love." She would later phrase it as such: "It seems to me that I have found my heaven on earth, because my heaven is you, my God, and you are in my soul. You in me, and I in you. May this be my motto." She wanted to live out this beautiful mystery as a Carmelite, something she had desired from an early age. As she pursued this, she experienced resistance from her mother. It was difficult for Mrs. Catez to let Elizabeth go from their threesome. Elizabeth took this in stride. She did not mope around because she didn't get her way or find ways to distract herself. She embraced this time in her life and lived the life she felt God was calling her to fulfill. One quote from her at this time: "May my life be a continual prayer, a long act of love. May nothing distract me from you, neither noise nor diversions. Oh, my master, I would so love to live with you in silence. But what I love above all is to do your will. And since you want me to still remain in the world, I submit with all my heart for love of you. I offer you the cell of my heart. May it be your little Bethany. Come rest there. I love you so." This is a lesson learned from St. Catherine of Siena, who also had to live in the world, though desirous of a deep prayer and solitude. Elizabeth wanted to be in Bethany with Jesus, the place where she would sit at his feet and learn from him just as Mary had done. The home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary was where Jesus would retire to experience this beautiful friendship. It is also where Mary anointed his feet before his passion and death. These were his friends that he loved. Elizabeth saw Jesus as the most dearest of friends, one with whom she could share everything, and this came out in her very person. She later wrote, "A soul united to God ought to be a living smile that gives him and radiates him." Her deep prayer life could not but spill over into some type of apostolic work. She, along with some of her friends, organized a club for the children living in the city. She spent many hours teaching catechism classes to them. Also, she sought to be an encouragement to her friends. Yet, as she engaged in the activities of her age and class, her acquaintances sensed something different about her. She had that recollection that St. Teresa of Avila speaks about. But instead of keeping people away from her, it actually drew them to her. Even the children she taught would try to follow her home. At parties, she had many surrounding her. The one group that knew they couldn't stand a chance with her were her young male followers. One young man was overheard at a party saying to his friend, "She is not for us. Look at her expression." She looked to the example of Our Lady and how to live both this contemplation and action. I want to read you a lengthy quote from the retreat written for her sister, Marguerite, who was married with young children. She states, "If you knew the gift of God, there is one who knew the gift of God, the one who did not lose a particle of it, one who was so pure and luminous that she seemed to be the light itself. One whose faith was so simple, so lost in God, that there is hardly anything we can say about it. The faithful virgin who kept all these things in her heart. She remained so little, so recollected in God's presence, in the seclusion of the temple, that she drew down upon herself the delight of the Holy Trinity. The Father, bending down to this beautiful creature, who was so unaware of her own beauty, willed that she be the mother in time of him whose father he is in eternity. It seems to me that the attitude of the Virgin during the months that elapsed between the Annunciation and the Nativity is the model for interior souls, those who God has chosen to live within," which is really all of us, "in the depths of the bottomless abyss. In what peace, in what recollection, Mary lent herself to everything she did, how even the most trivial things were divinized by her. For through it all, the Virgin remained the adorer of the gift of God. This did not prevent her from spending herself outwardly when it was a matter of charity. The Gospel tells us that Mary went in haste to the mountains of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Never did the ineffable vision that she contemplated within herself in any way diminish her outward charity," end quote. Our next lesson is how to see the suffering of life in the face of eternity. When she was finally able to enter the convent, she experienced many sufferings, but she had already opened her heart to what God wanted to do in her soul. She realized that her mission on earth was to be a praise of the glory of the Most Blessed Trinity. In the same retreat for her sister, she writes, "A praise of glory is a soul of silence that remains like a lyre under the mysterious touch of the Holy Spirit, so that he may draw from it divine harmonies. It knows that suffering is a string that produces still more beautiful sounds. So it loves to see the string on its instrument that it may more delightfully move the heart of its God." She also wrote many letters encouraging individuals in their sufferings. This was part of her apostolate in the Carmel. As early as 1903, the year Elizabeth turned 23, she had been suffering from Addison's disease, a disease that affects the adrenal gland and, as it progresses, causes great fatigue, a an inability to digest food, intense abdominal pains, and great thirst. At one point, she said, she felt like wild animals were consuming her insides. If that was not enough, her brother-in-law, thinking that the sisters were not taking care of her, how can they let a 26-year-old waste away and die, sent in more doctors to the Carmel. She submitted to the painful procedures and accepted the misunderstanding of her family. She knew what great pain it caused for mother and the sisters to see her suffer and not be able to relieve her pain. We next move to the lesson of forgetfulness of self. This is one that we all need to learn. And even when we think we learn it, we realize really how self-centered we are. As she prayed, Elizabeth realized more and more of what God was calling her to be, a praise of glory of the Blessed Trinity. Through her writings and examples, she could show others how to do this, what she calls her mission. She gave voice to it a short time before her death. It seems to me that my mission in heaven will be to draw souls to an interior recollection by helping them to come out of themselves and adhere to God in a very simple and completely loving movement. And to help them stay in this great inner silence enables God to cast them in his image and transform them into himself. While God dwells within, we still need to get away from the self that keeps us from embracing God as he truly is. This is not a forgetfulness that disregards those things that we need to do in life. It is not one that thinks it is okay for us to be treated badly by others as a doormat. Rather, this is a forgetfulness of self that allows the individual to let God take care of her. We get so worried about many things and fret about them when we just need to trust in him completely and not worry about how things will work out. He is in control, and he has a much better plan in mind than we do. Another way she teaches this great mystery is through her prayer to the Trinity, written on November 21st, 1904, right after the community retreat. A portion of this prayer is quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. She writes, "O my God, Trinity whom I adore, help me to forget myself entirely, so to establish myself in you, unmovable and peaceful, as if my soul were already in eternity. May nothing be able to trouble my peace or make me leave you, O my unchanging God, but may each minute bring me more deeply into your mystery. Grant my soul peace. Make it your heaven, your beloved dwelling, and the place of your rest. May I never abandon you there, but may I be there whole and entire, completely vigilant in my faith, entirely adoring, and wholly given over to your creative action." I think one can spend hours reflecting on this beautiful image of God in the soul and what this should mean to the individual's life. You have all been such good students. We have come to our final lesson, and that is of giving everything over to God, even our sinfulness. In her prayer to the Trinity, she has a section addressed to the Father. "And you, Father, bend down to your poor little creature, cover her with your shadow, and see in her only the well-beloved in whom you were well-pleased." So often, we don't feel like his beloved son or daughter. We have so many things for which we are not proud, things that we wish to hide, or things we wish we had not done. Yet we are loved in the midst of these things, whether we realize it or not. Elizabeth, from her deep life of prayer, knew this trap and wrote a letter to her prioress, not to be opened until Elizabeth had passed into eternity. No one knew of the existence of this letter until Mother Germaine, Elizabeth's prioress, passed away in 1934. Mother Germaine had been an important part of Elizabeth's life. There for her entrance, her postulancy, novitiate, profession, and death. Elizabeth wanted to leave her with something that would be an encouragement to her. We now have the letter, which is entitled, "Let Yourself Be Loved." What Elizabeth has done is to take the words of Jesus to St. Peter, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" As we know, this was asked of Peter three times. Peter was given three opportunities to replace the memory of his three denials with three affirmations of love. Jesus did not want Peter to assume his role with the crippling memory of these denials. Only our Lord can set us free from our inadequacies. Bearing with such weakness is the means by which this detachment happens. "Let yourself be loved more than these," she tells Mother Germain. "These can refer to others, but more importantly, to the things that keep us from opening our hearts more to the love of God. Do we love our sins and failings more than we love our Lord? We want to change, but uprooting our sins and behaviors is going to be difficult, and it is so easy to become identified with them. Who will we be without them? The divine lover is calling us to something more, where we have to leave behind the security of what we know to branch out into the unknown. But he is there. This is something that we all need to hear. We get bogged down by our sins and shortcomings. How can God love me? I can see how he can love everyone else, but I have hurt him in this way or that. He says to us, "Let yourself be loved." These are his love's urgent longings, not just to our impoverished longings, but also to his infinite longings. To pray and work through to this perspective of yielding to his love's longing for us, to allow him to love as he wishes, gently, painfully, however he chooses. I hope these lessons of Elizabeth have been helpful for you, even though you thought you were on summer break. While we have the saints to teach us how to live the interior life, we have to make it our own. God desires a unique relationship with us, one that is for us alone. If we open our heart to him, he will show us his love and draw us to himself more and more. As you have traveled with us along this journey of growing in the interior life, be assured of our prayers for you. We invite you back to our novena next year, but we don't want you to be strangers. We have our 6 a.m. weekday mass during the school year for those who don't sleep. If you'd rather come to a mass when the sun is up, we have 8 a.m. mass on Saturday all year round. On first Saturday, we have our devotions, and on the 13th of May and October, we have our Fatima procession. This is always inspiring to us to have you join us for these 9 days, as we know that this is giving honor to God, as well as looking to the example of Our Lady. So let us end in prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.